That is KSI on Radio 3. Summer is over. Tuesday afternoon, that means we're off to St Kilda to say hi to Morris Misolowski. G'day, Morris.
G'day. Don't tell me summer's over. It's just starting.
It's just starting for you. Randomly.
Blue skies, Phil. Blue skies.
Is it? Are you enjoying your summer?
Yeah. Oh, look, today's summer. Yesterday was winter. The day before was incredibly hot.
So as you realise, Morris and I really plan carefully for this session. So much so, he sent me a picture this morning. He said, I'm out and about. We'll think of something to talk about later. And you sent me a picture that's absolutely beautiful. It's like a Melbourne laneway. It looks like Diagon Alley, doesn't it? And of course, Morris, that got me thinking about urban planning, town shots and all that kind of stuff. Tell us where the picture was taken. It's beautiful.
Oh, the picture's in one of our laneways. Melbourne, I think, but I'm biased, is really famous for its laneways.
Oh, yeah.
They were the places where the horse and cart used to go up 120, 30 years ago. I mean, they are the laneways, the cobblestones. They were originally behind all of the factories, which is what it was there 150 years ago. Move forward 150 years, of course, they've now become beautiful laneways full of incredible cafes, great coffee, great food,
yeah.
And we sit and enjoy them. And every time I go into town, there's another... I mean, the laneway's been there forever, but there's another laneway sprouted up with new cafes and new places. So I shot a picture when we were talking. It's one of my little favourite laneways.
Right, let's talk about how Melbourne's designed, first of all. I mean, is it done in a particular way or is it random? Were these laneways put there as conduits for something? What's the deal?
Melbourne was actually an invented city.
Okay.
It obviously didn't exist. It existed in the way that the indigenous people lived here, but they lived a very different life. What happened with Melbourne is when Batman arrived up the Yarra and he got off and he thought this would be a great place for a village, which is basically what he said. And then all of a sudden the English, as they do, decided that they would change the landscape tremendously, taking away from all the flora, fauna, beautiful trees and whatever else was here, and of course the wonderful people that were here. And to answer your question, they turned it into this most magnificent European city, which is grids. So we are absolutely blocks and we are grids. You can find your way around anywhere. In the city downtown, there are main streets, and then they must have run out of words because we have a street called Burke Street, a street called Swanson, all main roads, and then in between there are little. So little Burke Street, little Collins Street, and that's the little road that runs in between the two big roads.
Right, so you mentioned horses and carts and stuff earlier on, so why would a horse and cart have needed to go down there? To cut the journey or for somebody to stop off for a pina colada? What's the deal?
No, it was trade.
Okay.
So the city and the suburbs, where I live as well, were all built around the notion of trade, and literally the horses and carts were used, which is why the laneway came in. So the laneway was usually the back of a home or the back of a factory, and the iceman would come and the milk would come and the bread would come and the tailor. Literally all of the trades were done in the laneway. The reason the laneways were cobble was because of horse and cart. I mean, horses left behind presents and things there, and it was a really easy way to keep it clean and the rest of it, and they obviously weren't going to spend a lot of money on the back nobody saw. So we have this legacy in many of the older suburbs, mine included, where the traditional homes, ones that have been around for 100 years plus, usually have a laneway somewhere near them, not behind them.
Okay, so that was the purpose. So they've become beautiful, they were always functional. So that was the purpose, you say, 100 and whatever years ago. My obvious question to you is, in terms of town planning, which direction do you think people are going to go in the future? Because there were a ton of things in that photo you sent me that are probably not going to be needed anymore, but they're enjoyed.
Well, most of the things in that photo actually, I think, will stick around because the photo represents cafes.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that entire laneway is just literally one cafe after another after another. It's European in the sense that there are little tables, not many, one or two tables per, because they're very small. They're not dissimilar from the Hong Kong one, you know, very small frontages.
Sure, but it's repurposing something that many years ago had a very practical use. Yeah, cafe's fantastic, but it's repurposing, isn't it?
Well, they had no use. I mean, they really had no use. Melbourne has only become an outdoor culture in the last 20 years. Prior to that, you would not eat out on the street. I remember I did a project for a client. Remember, I'm a foresight strategist.
Yep.
And the client came to me and said, oh, we've got a cafe in Brighton, which is quite an upmarket suburb near the beach. And that's important to this story. And it has a lot of disposable income, lots of money around that place.
Mm.
And they want to start up a fancy cafe a takeover one. And so I said, why don't we start to feed people on the street? Put out tables and chairs on the street. And it's a very, this is a beautiful street. And it died a death, Phil, died a death. Nobody wants to sit outside. And I still remember customers coming, this was in the late 80s, coming in saying that we're not going to sit out in the street with all the pollution and the cars going by and, watch, and people watching us eat. Yeah. And there was a tremendous uproar, so much so that that they took everything inside and the cafe just functioned on the inside. Never did they put things out in the street again. Roll forward, that same cafe, different owners, you know, 30, 40 years on, now is predominantly outside and most of the streets are. So we have changed as a society. We like eating out in the street. We very much like views and people and sitting about. Mm. So for us, one of the things... and this happened, I think, in many cities over COVID, is that the city centre kind of died because people stopped going there predominantly for work, which is why most people travel in. And while they're there, they get their dry cleaning done, spend it on food, catch up, do things. That all died away, and they have had difficulties bringing it back because we're now working 4-day weeks in and out. People aren't going
home,
to the city the way they were.
Online.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. And this is actually, this was going to happen before. It was always going to happen. It was going to take 10 years. Our Melbourne City Council has been talking about it for the last 5 years. I and other urban plans have been talking about it for 20 years. But what happened during COVID is it all sped up.
Right.
So what's called the CBD, which is the Central Business District,
yep,
which is where all the office buildings are and people go to work and do all the others and have for the last 100 years or so, to me is now becoming very quickly a CLD, which is a Central Leisure District.
Okay.
And the only way that we can make it survive in any way is, yes, to allow people to come to work, and they will still, and there'll be, you know, 60% of the workforce that used to be there pre-COVID will come in regularly. But the only way we can make up the other 40% is to really give up the ghost on work people during the day and give people leisure reasons to come. Good theatre, good food, you know, good meeting spaces, walkable parks, all that kind of stuff. And that's Melbourne's future. Literally, even in the last couple of weeks, it's been talked about quite a bit in the press that this is what Melbourne is headed towards.
Interesting what you said a few minutes ago, that when somebody tried to design this, it really didn't happen. But then when it was allowed to grow and evolve, it happened. Something in that, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, Melbourne was very much a grid, as I said, very much a grid, very much a design. We have beautiful boulevards. One of our major arterial roads into the city, so this is the city proper, is called St Kilda Road. It is, you know, maybe 30, 40 metres wide. Think Parisian streets with great palm trees all the way down going for kilometres and kilometres. And it heads up to where you and I hung out last time, down to St Kilda Beach.
That was wonderful, wasn't it? So you're talking about a CLD, Morris. Does that mean there's going to be much more L in the future?
Well, yeah, there is. There is. And it's something that we're doing with our hotels and other clients as well, that the reality is we need to find reasons for people to come in that aren't necessarily centred around work. We need to give them good excuses to come. Shopping is one of them, but they can shop in the suburbs as well. Mm. So we have to make the shopping experiences different. Food has to be different. We have great theatre in Melbourne, great shows.
Loads.
They used to come to Melbourne first.
Yeah.
And that's become very much, even after COVID, many of those places came back quickly. In Melbourne, we really took to them again very, very quickly. We have major shows again. So at night, what's happened to Melbourne, even in the last 6 months, 12 months, 6 months for sure, is it's become a bit of a, again, nowhere near Asia or Hong Kong. This is for an Australian standard, but it's become a bit of a night place and a weekend place. So on the weekend,
what about a day place?
Coming.
As well.
And at night, because people are going to the theatre, going to restaurants and things, it's busy. But during the day, it's busy, but I would say 70-80% busy compared to pre-COVID.
Yeah. I can't help looking at your picture. You're making me think all sorts of things. So I guess we should concentrate.
You've got to put it up on Facebook.
I'm just about to, yeah. We're thinking about the middles of cities, the middles, the CBDs, etc., the functional areas. Because when you said to me about we hang out in St Kilda, you go on down the road and you've got your seafront and Luna Park and you're in the 1950s. I mean, areas like that, I guess they don't.
Art Deco, very much Art Deco.
Oh, even earlier than the 50s. They don't, they don't come into our conversation, really. We're talking about the centres here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Although those little pockets are starting to make a comeback. That area you're talking about, which is called Fitzroy Street, which literally sits on the beach and moves up, is slowly becoming gentrified. There's some new properties there that you wouldn't recognise since you were there.
Yeah.
But it's making a change. But the whole of Melbourne and the way we live at the moment, there's a great debate. They're putting in lots of bike lanes everywhere because there's this notion that we should drive less, walk more, bicycle more. So great laneways of bikes are going in all over the place. Car parks are being taken out. People are being encouraged to go into parks. There was a really interesting proposal put up last week, which was not by the council but by one of our universities, where they want to take out a number of car spots. We do parallel parking, so outside shops there are car spots the width of a motor vehicle. They suggested that we take out a number of those throughout the city and put little parklets, they called them, with trees in, to the equivalent of, if this means anything, because we measure everything in Melbourne, especially by the MCG, which is our great footy ground, to the equivalent of 20 MCGs,
yeah,
which is significant.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. So how do you see Melbourne's inner bits changing? Or do you think they might not? Because my angle here is, what do we need? What will we need? Well, we don't need that anymore, but we like to hang out and drink coffee there. So does that mean it will stay?
I think it will. I think the food, the leisure, the all of that is pretty much where we're headed. It needs to become a smarter place, meaning that smarter as in the industries it brings in most probably will go more techie, most probably those types of things, remembering that a lot of the routine work, there was a lot of banks, a lot of clerks, a lot of secretaries, great people, great skills, just not as necessary as they once were. So those sorts of people are likely not to be employed, therefore not obviously not needed in the city, therefore obviously the buildings that used to house them will remain empty or not built anymore. We'll be changing over our workforce, is where I'm headed for that.
I wonder if it's gone 180, Maurice, because if you think back to 100 years ago, the early 20th, you had certainly in London areas like the city, Fleet Street, it was nothing but newspapers and pubs, these hubs on speed, weren't they? They were so work-oriented, these areas.
Yeah, they absolutely were, and Melbourne CBD was very much one of those. Strangely enough, and was something that I never cared for, and I've always argued against, is that we turned our back on the Yarra. The Yarra is our main river that flows through almost the centre of Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could argue because, in fact, the Yarra was with the wonderful city that I've just described to you that was all gridded and done beautifully. They actually covered over part of the Yarra and redirected it because they didn't want it flowing where it was flowing. So we did some interesting things to it. But the point of it was that
Thames too, Maurice. A load of that is hidden, by the way. I'm just saying.
Yeah, absolutely. But so every building kind of faces away from it, which is so strange because in most countries it faces towards water. Hong Kong has the most magnificent bay, most beautiful views, and you do, from what I can find, everything to encourage people to see that beautiful view.
Yeah.
We did the exact opposite. Our new buildings, our new parks, all of our everything that's being put into the city now is reversing that, thankfully, mm-hmm. and turning its back to the city and towards the ocean, towards the water. That's another big shift in the way we're going to live. The apartments are all being built now with views. So we're changing ever so slightly over the next little while to a different outlook physically. And remember also that there's a huge demographic change now, that we're not talking about baby boomers so much anymore. We're talking about Gen Zs and Ys, and they live differently, they eat differently, they do all kinds of things, not better or worse, just differently from their parents and grandparents.
Are they being made with views because the reality is a lot of people working at home, and they need to not go nuts in that space?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was an interesting article the other week about San Francisco, which is not what we're talking about, but the story still folds. San Francisco, it was a case study done in the last 6 months where City Hall, the council, and the business district have basically said that San Francisco downtown as a work hub has died. And that's because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But what the same article said, which is very much the case in Melbourne and I think much of Australia as well, is that the suburbs have actually become busier. And it's an exact correlation because people that used to go into the city to work, to recreate, obviously couldn't for the last 2 years, and they began to look around their own homes as little villages. So new shops opened up and great food, great coffee, friends, parks. People have rediscovered their local area, and that's what's happening in Melbourne and I think elsewhere around the world too. We're rediscovering our local areas, I think falling in love with them to an extent for many people, and the city kind of is almost redundant in the way it used to be central to our lives. Lots of people went 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. It just was where they went. It's not that dominating anymore.
Different trends in different decades when it comes to planning and architecture. What happened to the build vertical? vertical gardens, vertical living, all of that.
Still in. So what we're finding now is that we're having a lot of buildings, but they're being built like mini villages, so tall villages. And yes, they have a lot of greenscaping. Most of the new ones that have been designated for Melbourne all have some kind of greenscape on the outside and inside, but built very much as mini villages, meaning that they have mixed use. So they have some shops, they have some offices, they have some hotel maybe, they have some apartments. So there's a different feel and different vibe right through the building.
So just to wrap up today, if you were to look forward a good few years in Melbourne, based on what you've been telling us now, would you say it's going to be very lifestyle conscious, very people conscious?
Yeah. Absolutely, with more people living. You know, there was a time not that long ago, again, late 80s, early 90s, where there were only less than 10,000 people living full-time in our CBD.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very few people live there. I think now we're over 10 times. I think we're 150 or something. That I know by Hong Kong standards, it's not a lot. I'm talking about right downtown hub. And for us, that's a growing trend. There'll be more people living, more people retiring there, more people having small apartments there, more cafe. And that's generally where the council's headed, making it walkable, putting lots of parks in, lots of walkways, revitalising the Yarra. All of that's definitely where the infrastructure and the money's going.
Which is good news. If we'd been having this conversation in the 1970s, I bet you'd be saying quite the opposite. Stark, functional, industry, all that kind of stuff.
It is. I mean, the only bad news, Phil, is that, like my clients, I work with hotels and others that we've talked about before, is that, unfortunately, the businesses that are there now are really hemorrhaging. You know, it's all well and good for us to have this conversation and talk about a horizon that might look and feel and be better, but unfortunately, the businesses that are around and were around are doing it really tough, and a number of them will not survive this transition. It's not going to happen overnight, and even if it did, they're not prepared for it.
Thank you, Morris. Always great fun talking to you. I love the picture. I've put it up on our Facebook page. Any Melbourneites, any Aussies listening, go on, have a look. It'll take you home. Talk to you next week, Morris. Bye-bye for now.